Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. On this blessed, it's so sunny over here. I'm just hoping that you'll have good weather wherever you are around the globe. On this Sabbath, June 17, 2023, this is our part two review of our chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall. This is our part five of our lesson 384. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And now we are going to ask our dear brother if he will bless us once more with the Tiny Tot song of our theme, Heart Tis the Shepherd Voice I Hear, also known as Bring Them In.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. By the way, that word drear is a short for dreary, which means ain't nothing happening, I'm bored to death. Who'll go and help the shepherd kind? Help him the wandering ones to find. Who'll bring them back into the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Master speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any one of the little ones of our Tiny Tots, by the help of parents or elder sibling, would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. You take the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor, and the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. And Jesus said, the Sabbath with some lawful images, and we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, dear ones, we are going to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in their household, for mommies or daddies, or even any one of the rest of the family. Would you like to share? May you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For this week's mommies and daddies little blessing, I'd like to highlight my niece and my nephew. They're not here with us, but by God's grace, we hear that the little seeds that were planted in their hearts and teaching them how to pray and how to sing songs to the Lord has continued. And it's a blessing that even after a year after and not being here with us, that they're still able to do that and is blessing their homes and their families. And I pray that they continue to learn and to grow in grace according to God's perfect will. It was a blessing to me to hear that, and it was a blessing, and it has been a blessing to their family as well to have them. They're continuing to do Bible studies with other others. I just pray that the Lord will cover them and keep them in the truth that they know, and that they have learned, and reveal to them greater truths. Please continue to keep Talia and Tyshawn in prayer as they are growing, and help them to grow in grace according to God's perfect will. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful news, dear sister. Is there anybody else that would like to share what those little one has done through the grace of God in their home? We are going to continue, and we will be keeping Tyshawn and Talia in our prayers, dear sister. Well, dear ones, this is the section that we are going to ask our dear brother to review the story time section of the study with everyone.
All right, our Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 11 and verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, Matthew 11:3-5, and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, after a delay, Go and show John again those things which ye have heard, which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Isaiah 53:4-6, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him, for we thought of him as stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement and the stripes refer to the time when Jesus was tied to a post and he was whipped with a special whip that cut his skin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Next slide, please. Chapter 12, The Good Shepherd, Part 5. When the messengers came to Jesus, there were about him many sick, whom he was healing. All day the messengers waited, while he worked with tireless activity to help the suffering ones. At last he said, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, Matthew 11:3-5. So for 3.5 years, Jesus went about doing good. Then the time came for his ministry on earth to be finished. With his disciples he must go up to Jerusalem and be betrayed, condemned, and crucified. Next slide, please. Thus were to be fulfilled his own words, The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. John 10:11. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have wandered every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He bore our sins to save us. That's taken from Isaiah 53:4-6, and from the story of Jesus, page 80.
Amen. Thank you so much there, brother. So next Sabbath, we will begin with a new chapter, 13 of our lesson entitled Riding into Jerusalem in a Tiny Tots lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place, dear one, June 24, 2023. So we are going to continue with our review of our last part of our chapter 12. And I will hand it back to our dear brother to review the questions.
All right, the review. That's where we go over and ask a few questions about what we've been reading. What are some of the things Jesus said to the messengers to tell John?
The blind received their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf was able to hear, and the dead are raised up.
Yes. It seems strange, but it was Christ's way. The questioners came, the disciples of John came to Jesus, and they asked him a question. Are you the Christ, or do we look for somebody else? Jesus didn't turn around and say, yes, I am. He didn't say, go tell John that I do this and this and this. He just went on with his work and went on healing people. And when the day was, well, I don't know how much time went past. Then he went to the questioners and said, you bear witness to John what you've seen. Tell him what I've done. And that was an encouragement to John, because he knew the scriptures and knew what Christ was to do. How long did Jesus, quote, went about doing good?
For 3 years and a half.
For 3 years and a half. He ministered to the people. Actually, his ministry started, Sister White says, as a child. Not that he healed people and did miracles, but he helped. He comforted people. He gave his food to people that were hungry sometimes. They probably gave some clothes to somebody that needed them. Sister White goes on to say, few in Jerusalem were poorer than Jesus. If you've seen poor people on the streets of your city, you know what a poor person looks like or has in the way of earthly possessions, and Christ had less. What should we remember Jesus to be?
The Good Shepherd.
The Good Shepherd. He doesn't just lead his people or his sheep. He heals their diseases. And he uses people like Rose to help do that. Thank you for taking part.
Bless your heart. Jesus still do the work through us in the name of Jesus. And it brings the scripture where it says, when Jesus was healing all of those individuals and they wanted to know who he was, doesn't it remind you of the scripture that said, by their fruit ye shall know them? It's time for a little tiny thought, some parents to learn precious lessons in God's creation through nature. And this is our review part for the 38 of the water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother Josh will be able to share the review section.
Sad blessings, everyone, and here's today's lesson concerning the water of life. The water of life, part 38, review. A sick man healed, part 4. The Bible verses for water lessons are taken from the book of John, chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth himself in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. In research, sin brings disease. In the temple, Jesus met the man who had been healed. He had come to bring a sin offering and also a thank offering for the great mercy he had received. Finding him among the worshippers, Jesus made himself known with the warning words, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The sick the healed man was overjoyed at his deliverer. Ignorant of the enmity toward Jesus, he told the Pharisees who questioned him that this was he who had performed the cure. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. The Desire of Ages, page 204. The very first steps that the Jews ever took against Christ to harm him in any way were taken because he did not obey their man-made ideas about keeping the Sabbath. We too can expect that religious people will want to put us to death because we reverence God's ideas about Sabbath keeping and not man's. Let's learn all we can about God's ideas of reverencing the Sabbath day. Learn to respect your body temple is one thing that will help you to keep the Sabbath holy. And here's how to do a hot water bottle. Well, what to use, how to use it, and the cautions about it. The materials needed is 1, a bath thermometer, 2, water, or measuring 115 to 125 degrees Fahrenheit, or 46 to 52 degrees Celsius. 3, a hot water bottle. 4, a towel or flannel cover. 5, a pitcher. And how to proceed? Step 1, fill pitcher with hot water. Step 2, pour into the hot water bottle to about 1/3 to 1/2. Step 3, expel all air out of the bottle by lying the bottle flat until the water comes to the opening, then plug. Check for leaks. Step 4, cover the bottle with a cover or towel. Step 5, when the water is cool, refill. Step 6, dry by hanging upside down with the stopper out. The other cautions of being careful. 1, test the water with a thermometer before filling. If the bottle were to leak, you would not want the patient to be burned. 2, always use a bottle cover. 3, refill as often as needed. 4, hot water bottles should not be used on patients who are unconscious, have poor circulation, have diabetes, or are paralyzed. Step 5, watch the position of the hot water bottle on the patient that does not move and burn him or her. 6, be careful of extra weight. Here are the purposes of the water, hot water bottle. 1, to relieve pain. 2, relieve congestion. And 3, sedative. And here's step 1 here are the steps on how to fill it up and how to handle it. Step 1, hold the bottle by the neck in an upright position and fill slowly to avoid hot water splashing back. Step 2, when filling this hot water bottle, fill to maximum of 2/3 capacity and then squeeze out excess air. Step 3, screw the stopper sufficiently tight. Step 4, upside down the bottle to ensure that there is no leakage. And continue our reference reading for the law topic of our Tiny Tots lesson review. Chapter 21, Bethesda and the Sanhedrin, Part 5. In the temple, Jesus met the man who had been healed. He had come to bring a sin offering and also a thank offering for the great mercy he had received. Finding him among the worshippers, Jesus made himself known with the warning words, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Desire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 2. The healed man was overjoyed at being his deliverer. Ignorant of the enmity toward Jesus, he told the Pharisees who questioned him that this was he who had performed the cure. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Desire of Ages, page 204, paragraph 3. And next slide. And here are your bonus questions. review, you can find the answers in the Bible or the Desire of Ages book. Question 1, where did Jesus meet the man he had healed? Look in John 5:14. 2, what was the man doing there? Check the Desire of Ages, page 204. And 3, what words did Jesus say to him? And check again, John 5:14. Give my
best, Mom. Amen. First, Lord, and remember, little ones, bring them in, bring them in, bring the wonder ones to Jesus. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. For those that are listening on our devices and later are recorded, have a blessing, everyone. Our opening song is a hymn of our theme entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, found in 290. If you would like to be able to share the hymn, you may unmute your mic to do so. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a light more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. For us sin no more had dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. And go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open our family section of our review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up this morning. It seems like the word that we're about to learn, Jesus is the people who's here. If he's not here, to come up for the Sabbath. If he's made it free, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the Scripture Singer Song Memory Verse CD Promises in chapter 53 of Isaiah, verses 4 through 6, which is also the ending of our Tiny Tots song.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53, 4 through 6.
Welcome, dear family that are coming in. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear all the answers to the questions of our review, we will take a few minutes to reread our part one of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, Part 5, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 729. Herod questioned Christ in many words, but throughout the Savior maintained a profound silence. At the command of the king, the decrepit and maimed were then called in, and Christ was ordered to prove his claims by working a miracle. Sorry, admitting someone to the room. Okay. Men say that thou canst heal the sick, Herod said. I am anxious to see that thy widespread fame has not been belied. Jesus did not respond, and Herod still continued to urge, if thou canst work miracles for others, work them for thine own good. And continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing. It will serve thee a good purpose. Again he commanded, show us a sign that thou hast the power with which rumor hath accredited thee. But Christ was as one who heard and saw not. The Son of God had taken upon himself men's nature. He must do as man must do in like circumstances. Therefore, he would not work a miracle to save himself the pain and humiliation that men must endure when placed in a similar position. Amen. Desire of Ages, page 729, paragraph 2.
Have a blessing, everyone. The Desire of Ages, page 729. Herod promised that if Christ would perform some miracle in his presence, he should be released. Christ's accusers had seen with their own eyes the mighty works wrought by his power. They had heard him command the grave to give up its dead. They had seen the dead come forth obedient to his voice. Fear seized them lest he should now work a miracle. Next slide, please. Continuing. Of all things they must dread, they most dreaded an exhibition of his power. Such manifestation would prove a death blow to their plans and would perhaps cost them their lives. Again, the priests and rulers in great anxiety urged their accusations against him. Raising their voices, they declared, "He is a traitor, a blasphemer. He works his miracles through the power given him by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." The hall became a scene of confusion, some crying and one thing and some another. Desire of Ages, page 729, paragraph 3.
We are in the Desire of Ages, still in page 730. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic?
Herod's conscience was now far less sensitive than when he had trembled with horror at the request of Herodias for the head of John the Baptist. For a time, he had felt the keen stings of remorse for his terrible act. But his moral perceptions had become more and more degraded by his licentious life. Next slide, please. Continuing, now his heart had become so hardened that he could even boast of the punishment he had inflicted upon John for daring to reprove him. And he now threatened Jesus, declaring repeatedly that he had power to release or to condemn him. But no sign from Jesus gave evidence that he heard a word. Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 1.
Continuing. Herod was irritated by his silence. It seemed to indicate utter indifference to his authority. To the vain and pompous king, open rebuke would have been less offensive than to be thus ignored. Again, he angrily threatened Jesus, who still remained unmoved and silent. The Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 2.
The Desire of Ages, page 730. The mission of Christ in this world was not to gratify idle curiosity. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Could he have spoken any word to heal the bruises of sin-sick souls, he would not have kept silent. But he had no words for those who would but trample the truth under their unholy feet. The Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 3. On the slide in front of Herod, it says, Matthew 7:6, King James Version, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you."
The Desire of Ages, page 730. Christ might have spoken words to Herod that would have pierced the ears of the hardened king. He might have stricken him with fear and trembling by laying before him a full iniquity of his life and the horror of his approaching doom. But Christ's silence was the severest rebuke that he would have given. Herod had rejected the truth spoken to him by the greatest of the prophets, and no other message was he to receive. Next slide, please.
Not a word had the majesty of heaven for him. That ear that had ever been open to human woe had no room for Herod's commands. Those eyes that had ever rested upon the penitent sinner in pitying, forgiving love had no look to bestow upon Herod. Those lips that had uttered the most impressive truth, that in tones of tenderest entreaty had pleaded with the most sinful and the most degraded, were closed to the haughty king who felt no need of a savior. Desire of Ages, page 730, paragraph 4.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James. It's a memory verse song as well. Was sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, there was, what have we learned in ways we have grown? We have a sixth question that we have reserved from our part one. We will repeat it for the sake of those that are not able to see the screen and those that will be reading later on recordings. These questions were reserved from last Sabbath. Number one, who is the main character or characters of this part five? Number two, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one, number six, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have the ability to text or use your mic, may you mute your mic there once for the first one.
Number one, who is the main character or characters? Here we see we have Herod and Christ in this particular section. And then also we see Pilate and also the scribes and the Pharisees and rulers.
The answer to question two was the main idea for a section of our story, Herod interrogating Jesus and wanting proof.
Where did the story take place? Here we saw this section of the stories taking place in the judgment hall of Pilate, but we also see that after Pilate's questions were concluded, he turned them over to Herod. And so at this particular time, Christ was in front of Herod.
The answer to question four, when did the story begin? Herod questioning Christ and Jesus remaining silent.
Number five, how could you relate to the story? I could relate to the story, or this particular section of the story, by seeing how Christ was being silent, even though he was being tempted and tried. It is a great lesson in that, because so many times in our flesh, When we are in a situation like this, our immediate response is to retaliate, to defend ourselves. And I can relate just by learning about Christ to just be silent, to be still and let God. So I can't say that it's completely fully achieved, but I definitely could relate in situations that's happening around me and learning just to be silent, to know that God will take care of it on His time, in His way, on His will, and according to how we handle it, we could either make it worse or better. And I think if we allow God to do it, it would be better than we could even imagine.
Does anybody else would like to be able to share number 5? Well, I can be able to relate. I have a testimony, and also I can be able to relate to the perfect example that the Lord has given us. I have realized with this particular part 5 and doing off all part 5, number 1 all the way to 5, that the importance of why we have to give ourselves to the Holy Spirit, that there will, that it will give us the strength to be able not to resort to look for the flesh for help. Because the flesh doesn't really understand spiritual things, and it doesn't have no wisdom of anything. By giving ourselves to the Holy Spirit, He will actually give us the strength to do so. Especially in the time where there's so many eyes upon the circumstances. If we will give ourselves to the Holy Spirit to lead us, we will not only glorify God, but also give an example that what the Savior had left for us, that whenever we are in trying situation or we are even tempted, that we cannot do nothing of ourselves. We really have to go above and beyond this tabernacle and to reach out and jot up a prayer that the Lord will help us not to misrepresent Him and glorify His name, and at the same time look and see why the Lord had brought that situation to us. And that's what I have learned, and I'm already continuing to understand fully that without Christ, we cannot do nothing. Who would like to take number 6, dear one?
But number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? And what I'm learning from this lesson is silence is eloquence. Silence is sometimes, from what I'm seeing, is the best weapon that can really de-escalate some situations. And I think that, again, pointing out that this is not something that is normal, because the flesh wants to be justified. What? I didn't do that. How could you say that I did that? Or that is a liar. But, and silence does not mean defeat. It could be a victory in the sense that we allow again for God to be able to be the one to judge and to justify and to remedy the situation. And I've had situations where I'm continuing to learn and grow. And sometimes against the flesh, it's a pricking every day. Well, why don't you just say this and let it be done? And no, but in being silent, it's given God time to work out the situation, to let it be complete, to completely eradicate it and make it no more. And that is a lesson that is fighting against every faculty of the flesh. It is a hard lesson, but if we go through it and continue, it will be a great reward. And that is what I'm learning, and praise God for that. And I pray that the Lord strengthen me and all who are dealing with any situations in this manner in saying silence. because again, if we allow him to do the work, it would be so, so well done than more than we can imagine. And that is what I'm learning.
I would just like to add, indeed it is a struggle to maintain silence in any situation, but most importantly, when you are being accused. So looking at the Lord, what I have learned and is that the, in the Word of God, it says the truth will set you free. And Christ was the truth. He was the Word standing there and speaking and walking. And after he had done everything, especially spoken to the soul of Herod, he maintained his silence because there was nothing else to say to him, because the Word had already spoken and his case was already judged. And that is something that I will love to learn and carry on in my walk as a Christian, to know that we cannot do more than what God can do, or say what more than what the Word can say. And after we have done all by the grace of God, then we can learn to be silent.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have number 6. What did you learn from this lesson? Did I say number 6? We was in number 5, but now we are number 6.
No,
we are finished? Okay. Sorry, I was just thinking about all that was being said. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones, for your input. And we are going to continue to share our thoughts, favorite poem, and also special music. This talk is taken from Spirit of Prophecy book entitled The Review and Herald, January 31st, 1907. The chapter's entitled Self-Denial, Self-Sacrifice, and the opening of the scripture in our devotional book is called Jesus' Name Above All Name. This will also touch upon the same paragraph from pages 165, paragraph 1 through 5, and the opening of the scripture is 2 Corinthians 8:9, King James, and it reads, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for his sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And we are going to ask any one of the brethren if they would like to take the first paragraph of this particular one in the Review and Herald entitled Commander of the Heavenly Host.
There is a great work to be done in a short time. We need to understand our work and to do it with fidelity. Everyone who is finally crowned victor will by noble, determined effort to serve God have earned the right to be clothed with Christ's righteousness, to enter the crusade against Satan, bearing aloft the blood-stained banner of the cross of Christ. This is the duty of every Christian. Review and Herald, January 31st, 1907. Paragraph 3.
This work calls for self-sacrifice. Self-denial and the cross stand all along the way of life. "He that will come after me," Christ said, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Those who secure the treasures of this world are obliged to toil and sacrifice. Should those who are seeking for an eternal reward think that they make no sacrifices? Review and Herald, January 31st, 1907, paragraph 4.
The
speech. The most difficult sermon to preach and the hardest to practice is self-denial. The greedy sinner, self, closes the door to the good which might be done, but which is not done because money is invested for selfish purposes. But it is impossible for anyone to retain the favor of God and enjoy communion with the Savior, and at the same time be indifferent to the interests of his fellow beings who have no life in Christ, who are perishing in their sins. Christ has left us a wonderful example of self-sacrifice. He pleased not himself, but spent his life in the service of others. He made sacrifices at every step, sacrifices which none of his followers can ever make, because they have never occupied the position he occupied before he came to this earth. He was commander of the heavenly host, but he came here to suffer for sinners. He was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. Because he loved us, he laid aside his glory and took upon him the form of a servant.
He gave his life for us. What are we given for him? Shall we not, in the new year just before us, consecrate ourselves entirely to him? Shall we not make him a new year's offering of a portion of the means he has given us? As we follow him in the path of self-denial, lifting the cross and bearing it after him to his Father's home, we shall reveal in our lives the beauty of the Christ life. At the altar of self-sacrifice, the appointed place of meeting between God and the soul, we receive from the hand of God the celestial torch which searches the heart, revealing the need of an abiding Christ. Bureau Herald, January 31st, 1907, paragraph 5. Further reflection, who in home, church, or community needs my selfless service today? Jesus' name above all name, pages 165, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to share also a poem. It's entitled, Cast Thy Burden Upon the Lord, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 12, page 314, from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling, from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number one. Is this the way, my father? 'Tis my child, thou must pass through this tangled, dreary wild, if thou wilt reach the city undefiled, thy peaceful home above.
But enemies are around. Yes, child, I know that when thou least expect, thou wilt find a foe. But victor, thou shalt prove o'er all below, only seek strength above.
My son
my father.
My father. It is dark.
It is dark.
Child.
Child.
Take my hand.
Take my hand.
Cling close.
Cling close.
To me.
To me.
I'll lead.
Thee through.
Thee through.
The land. The land.
Trust.
Trust.
My all.
My all.
Seeing.
Seeing.
I. So shalt.
So shalt.
Thou stand.
Thou stand.
Midst.
Midst.
Glory.
Glory.
Bright.
Bright.
Above.
This is Mary.
My.
One.
Footsteps.
My footsteps.
Seem to slide. Child.
Child.
Only raise. Thine eye. To me. Then.
In thy.
Slippery ways.
I will hold.
Up thy goings.
Thou shalt
praise. shalt thou praise.
Thou shalt praise.
Thou shalt praise.
Me for.
Me for.
Each step.
Each step.
Above.
Above.
Good.
Okay.
O Father, I am weary, lean thy head. Upon my breast, it was my love that spread. Thy rugged path hope on, till I have said, rest, rest forever above.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we have the special song for the actual scripture that was given for our talk. Our special music is taken from the Desire of All Ages Memory Verse CD, Volume 2, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, from the King James Version. Thank you so much, dear Savior, on behalf of all of us for all that you have done. I have a testimony that happened yesterday by God's grace, and with the knowledge that we just received, knowing that God is all-seeing, I don't know if you all remember that we had prayed for someone that was assaulted, and he was hit so severe in his head that he has now problem with memory. He went to an appointment yesterday, but he was told to wait for them to pick them up. But what happened is that he got up and he left the clinic. And he left the clinic from about 8 or 9 in the morning, and they couldn't find him anywhere. My sister usually goes in and read the messages that our other sister, Sister Sheila, has on Facebook. But it happens that this particular request came in through where she was reading, and it had the picture of the individual, and the family member was asking to please pray for him because they couldn't find him. But at the time, my sister didn't really read the very bottom of the section. She was just looking at the picture, and then after she was moved to be able to see what was written in the bottom, and it was a request to Facebook to please pray for the purpose of returning the uncle. When my sister came and she says, Rosie, Mr. Lionel is basically missing, so we decided to go on our knees and pray. So we took the request that was asked, and we pray and we ask the Lord to have mercy, that wherever he was, he can see all things. He knows what is in the heart of Mr. Lionel, and he knows everybody that will be in their surrounding. After when we finished praying, acknowledging also that the Lord said, anything that you ask on the Sabbath day, it will be granted. So by faith, we hold on to his promise. When we finished praying, later, my sister reached out to his mom, and when she picked up the phone, no, she says that she couldn't get her. And finally, when she did pick up the phone, she noticed how fragile she was, because I don't know how many years ago, she had lost her husband the same way. The husband was actually suffering from dementia. He literally got up that morning and said he was going to work, but he had retired many years ago. So he went, and the sad thing about it, that it was almost, it was kind of winterish, very cold. But the confusion that he had, I guess when they was looking for him, they did found him, but he already passed. He already passed away. So it was too close to what was really happening. So we went back and prayed with his mom. And as soon as we finished praying with her, the phone rang. But we had to go because we had to continue on with our family meeting on Friday night. And I was just praying, asking, Lord, please, I pray that that phone call will be some kind of news concerning Mr. Lionel. So later we found out, because my sister went back to what she was doing, and there was a message in it saying, praise God, God is good, they found him. So this is my testimony, dear ones, and glorifying God that he was actually found with no harm, and the Lord did answer prayer. That is my testimony, dear ones. If there's anybody else that would like to share what the Lord had done.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. My testimony. So the situation that I've been dealing with for the past month or so, I've actually got over it. I don't have like an anger or resentment or any pity towards the individuals who have been causing me any the distress for the past month. But then again, I get information this morning, and I guess I was supposed to have the same reaction I did when it all first started. So I'm just thankful that my reaction that I received, the information that I received this morning, I'm just thankful that I didn't have the same emotions that I did from the start of all this mess that I'm in the middle of. So at this point, I'm kind of at peace with it. I mean, it's still bothersome, but I could say the situation allowed me to be able to check my attitude and to learn when to speak, how to speak, and what to say when it needs to be said. So that is, I'm not even upset, because in the midst of all the mess, I did learn some stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Praise the Lord, dear sister. So, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our review section for our family lesson. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 6 of our lesson entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, in our study book, The Desire Ages. If anyone would like to be able to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you, dear Lord, for this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you for this wonderful day that is so beautiful in my neck of the woods. I hope that everyone can experience to some level the beauty that I am experiencing today. Please be with us as we ending this part of the lessons. We thank you for all the participation of the children and their parents. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us so far. We thank you for answered prayer of finding the individual that prayers went out last night, and so quickly, dear Father, that you answered. We thank you, Father Jesus, for your mercy and your grace and restoring the person to his loved ones, Father. be with us as we continue throughout this day. Continue to bless us. Continue to keep our minds elevated on you. I pray, Father, that you continue to enrich us with all your blessings today. Be with the speaker. I pray in no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be June 24th, 2023, we are going to start with a part 6 of chapter 77 entitled In Pilate's Judgment Hall, and that will be lesson 385. May the Lord bless and keep each one, dear ones. May you have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen.